First Netter, just talking to teachers.
Talking to teachers about academic research and evidence-based practice with continuing professional development at PNA1977 on Twitter.
Nailers Netter, just talking to teachers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Nailers Netter with me, Emma Turner, where I have finally tracked down the elusive but wonderful and marvellous Mr. Action Jackson, UK Ambassador for Happiness. Welcome.
Hey, it's good to be here. It's a pleasure. Finally made it. Yes, I was scooting around the world spreading some happiness, and I've ducked here to make it happen again.
Oh, fantastic. So we're live from Turner Towers again. So you are the UK Ambassador for Happiness. I have seen you do your thing live and in person, which was absolutely brilliant. But for those people who don't know you know, what is your background? What's your career today? How did you end up becoming the UK Ambassador for Happiness?
Well, interesting question. So for me, my thing has always been about unlocking potential and creating happy people, and most especially working with young people as well. Because when I was young, I had a lot of potential and energy, but no one helped me harness it. So which meant that I went down the route of feeling insecure, comparing myself to so many other people. And I remember distinctly one day at French class, I saw my colleague who was, you know, a friend of mine who had been in the same class for 3 years, and he was able to have a fluent conversation with a French teacher. And I thought, I knew when you could not speak French, why are you so fluent? And by making that comparison, I thought, that's not fair. Is he just gifted and I'm not? And that moment was when my insecurity kicked off, and that was it. And I can distinctly remember that was the day I started wavering, comparing myself to others, and loved music, loved drama, loved art, and PE, and lunchtime. That's one of my favorite subjects as well. Apple crumble and custard, whoop, whoop, come on. And and all of that was just literally looking back. I wish someone said, hey, they're good at what they do because they put in effort, and you two have the same. But I guess I went on the journey of just really discovering myself, the importance of happiness, and tapping into what makes me happy, and doing all this motivational work in schools with kids. I love working with especially primary kids because there's no inhibition. They are the true example of what we're supposed to be as adults. You know, they're supposed to teach us a thing or two. So I traveled to the UAE to do some sessions, some CPD sessions, and I found out that they had a minister for happiness. I said, shut up. What do you mean you got minister for happiness? You mean there is a role in government for someone who's all about happiness? I said, how cool is that? Came back to the UK. I thought, I literally Googled. I said, minister for happiness. Zero. I said, you know what? I hereby crown myself the UK ambassador for happiness. And I took the role. And I've been living the role ever since. Going around to schools with my team, spreading happiness and helping teachers, parents, and young people unlock their potential and be happy.
Oh, I love that proactive approach. I love the fact that you've gone to the UAE and thought, right, what they do is amazing. Have we got one? No. So I'm going to be it. I love that proactive. If nobody's claimed it, it's mine. That's brilliant.
Listen, take it.
So what does the UK Ambassador for Happiness do? What's your ministerial role?
Yes. So my first ministerial role is to make sure that I'm looking after myself. Well-being is high on the agenda because I can't teach what I don't live. Okay, so I teach from my transformation. I need to know what it feels like to be unhappy and then happy. And that includes me running 30K every week, 10K every other day. And I don't eat after 8 p.m. so that my system is digesting food properly. So I'm healthy that way. I'm constantly reading, learning, just really discovering my happiness, doing things that make me happy, like singing, playing the guitar, practical jokes. So I first of all look after myself. Then I take that energy, that ball of energy, and I take it around schools across the UK and around the world, helping teachers tap into their happiness and spreading it to the kids so that they can then spread it to their parents. So my ministerial role involves training teachers, training parents, training young people to just be happy. It's not something that's way out there. It's in here. You can be happy. Listen, if you're listening right now, just smile. There you go. You see, you can feel it. You can feel it. But you can't see me, but you can feel it.
It's radiating through the airwaves, Jax.
There you go. There you go.
I mean, I love the fact that you run. I'm a runner as well. We need to go for a run, you and me. In fact, we should
come on.
We should make it. This is the first action. We first Naylor's Natter running podcast. This is what we should have done. Very breathless, slightly competitive.
Exactly.
But a lot of laughter. But I love the fact that you make the point that you can't look after other people unless you're taking care of yourself. That's such an important point. There's so many people who equate being dedicated and devoted to their work with actually giving so much of themselves that they've got nothing left, and especially within
team.
And I love the fact as well that you're constantly reading and constantly learning. And we'll come on to something you were talking to me about off air later on about your digital detox, because that's fascinating. But I love that. And the fact that you're taking happiness into schools is brilliant. So why should happiness be such an important focus in school?
Well, there's a quote that says, success doesn't create happiness. Happiness creates success. Okay? Success doesn't create happiness. Happiness creates success. And we've been through history told that, oh, when you're successful, when you get that grade, when you get that position, when you buy that house, when. And for some of us, when we get to that when, we're not happy. But if we can say, hey, happiness creates success. And the reason why happiness in our schools is so important is because school is the passageway for everybody. At some point in time, everybody in history would have gone through a school, okay, whether it be for a year, 2 years, whatever, to then end up in society. And this is a crucial passageway, okay, for every adult. Every adult's insecurity started in school. Every adult's confidence started at some point in school. My love for music started at school. Okay, my love for apple crumble and custard started at school. You know, so for me, it's the quote from the song that says, I believe the children future, teach them well, help them lead the way, show them all the beauty they possess inside, give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. That there is the key. So if we can put happiness in our kids, listen, they become happy adults. And for me, that's where it starts. When I've done primary school session, I'm seeing those kids, I've said, right in you, there's beauty in you. And if we don't look after it, you're going to end up depressed, frustrated, hooked on alcohol and cigarettes and hating your life and hating your jobs. We're not having that. We're going to start here right now.
You have no idea how much I wanted to sing with you then, actually.
You should have. Oh, you should. This is what I mean about happiness. No, that tug, it tugged you. You should have gone with it.
I can't, because everybody would have been very unhappy had they had to. I gave happiness to the world by not joining in there. And in my... I genuinely wanted to, but it, you are absolutely right in that happy children that can become happy adults will contribute to a much more successful society and become much more much healthier, able to contribute to the, you know, to their own development, to the development of others, to development of communities. And I do think that sometimes happiness is given a bit of a wishy-washy kind of sneer, almost, that that actually it's not about happiness, it's about learning. And don't get me wrong, I am the biggest advocate of quality learning in schools. I could bore people for hours about it. But actually, as a parent as well, I want my children to learn, but I also want them to be happy. I want my children to have a good life. And having a good life involves, you know, being happy, doesn't it?
Quality learning is, first of all, learning about yourself. Because when I know who I am, I can learn whatever's being taught to me. But if I don't know who I am, whatever you're teaching me, it's going to fall on deaf ears. There are teachers saying, okay, get this grade, get that grade. But this child is really disconnected on the inside. But when you can build that connection on the inside, when they turn up to the classroom, they're more alert and ready to learn. So I think the first quality learning is about learning about self. When you learn about self, you're happy. When you're happy, you want to achieve. You want to take in all the information. Yeah. So, yeah.
And you're right about the schools as well being that uniting experience, because for some children who don't get the opportunity to have that safe, supportive, kind, loving environment outside the home, where they may be living in a quite a chaotic environment, mm-hmm. school can be the only reliable place where they, you know, they receive kindness and warmth and encouragement and are treated with respect and dignity. Mm. And all of those come under your umbrella of happiness, don't they? Because when I was unpicking some of your you know, your little videos that you've done on the digital 365.
yes.
It's much more than happiness, isn't it? We've got overarching term of happiness, but you unpick everything from sort of imposter syndrome to self-belief mm-hmm. and growth mm-hmm. mindset and confidence. And it's under this umbrella term of happiness, but you're right that people can't access the learning unless they're ready to learn and they're in a space where they believe they can learn as well. Absolutely. Thanks. Bang on. Which leads me nicely into one of your strap lines, which is, I am amazing.
Come on.
Where did this come from? And what's it all about? I am amazing.
Well, even you saying it right now, Emma, how did it make you feel saying I am amazing? That's all I'm going to say. It's just a password to your happiness. You said it and you sat up. It's like, I am amazing. Yeah. I call it the password to your happiness. And this is how you know how connected you are to yourself. If you say those words, I am amazing, and you feel a disconnect, we've got work to do. Many a times when I've done a CPD session with a group of teachers, I get them to say, I am amazing. And you can just see across the room how uneasy they are about saying it. But yet they are amazing teachers. They've done great work. So what I then do is I get other staff members to say something amazing about this person who doesn't want to say it. And there's a list of about 17 things. I said, you see, you're amazing, but you don't own how amazing you are. So I'm going to force you to say it until it sinks in. Currently, I'm coaching one-to-one a teacher that teaches year 11. And she's having some challenges, and we've created the voice for her imposter syndrome voice and her voice. And I've literally got her to say, I am amazing. I am enough. And she could not say it.
Really?
She couldn't. She's like, I'm uneasy with that. And that there is, put it this way, happiness is not taught, it's caught. Mm-hmm. Happiness is not taught, it's caught. You feel the vibe, you feel the energy. And our teachers, as you step in front of these kids, it's not what you're teaching them intellectually, it's what you bring into the room emotionally that makes the biggest difference. So that's why I am amazing phrase is okay.
I love the I am amazing thing, because when I wrote, this sounds terrible self-promotion, when I wrote Be More Toddler, there's a chapter in there about how toddlers, they've not got that kind of self-critical voice, this kind of icon. They are constantly championing, look at me, look what I can do, watch me, mommy, look at me. They are the champions of kind of being amazing and telling people how amazing they are. Mm-hmm. And gradually all those little bits of amazing confidence fall off us until we're adults thinking, oh, no, I haven't done anything, you know, look, I've not achieved anything. We kind of need to go back to being two and going...
We have to. Yeah. I mean, as you were speaking, I just imagined that little toddler had a wonderful cape, and it's a long cape, you know, that does magical things. And as he grows older or she grows older, the society just came with their scissors and started to snip the cape.
No, you know what it becomes? It becomes a tie.
There you go. And I don't want to go too grim and too deep. That tie can sometimes become a noose around someone's neck that chokes their happiness.
Created, we've gone from the superhero cape to the tie to the noose.
Oh, look at that. This is ideas just evolving. And that's exactly what happens.
You and me, Jackson, we're what a team. We are amazing.
We are so amazing.
Oh, fantastic. So speaking of teams, you've got a whole fix-up team, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
Who are your fix-up team and what do they do?
Well, so the fix-up team, we're like the Avengers, okay? And we pounce on a school and we just help schools to just really get to this happiness message. Because what I've done is I've surrounded myself with other people who are happy in themselves and happy to help young people and children and teachers and parents, because I can't do the work by myself. So my team, we travel around the UK, around the world. We're doing seminars, workshops, 6-week workshops, 1-day workshops, CPDs, just to help with whatever we can, you know, exam preparation, growth mindset, all the stuff that the schools need in order to perform at their best. Let's play the game, right? Schools need to get good grades. We need to perform at some level. Two things schools need is that achievement on the outside and achievement on the inside. We can't ignore both. We can't just sing kumbaya and that's it, because the real world needs us to contribute in order to elevate. So we help with both. Schools want to increase their attainment levels. All right, cool. To do that, we believe you need to tap into your potential. So we come in, we run workshops and make things happen for schools. And what's so great is when I went to a school one time and the teacher came up to me and said, I remember when you came into my school when I was in primary school. And that for me was like, wow, this stuff works.
Wow. So if somebody wanted to get your fix-up team in,
yeah,
what could they do? What if, you know, if they think, you know, things are feeling a bit flat amongst our students, or we, you know, we really want to raise morale, or we really want to focus on student well-being and happiness, what could they do? What do the team do?
Well, so we come in and we run, I won't even call it an assembly, and it's an experience. Okay. The experience you had when we went to Camp Edfest, okay, times that by 10.
Wow.
And with kids in the room. And it's almost like a concert. There's comedy, there's education, and they're singing. There has to be singing. There has to be singing. And then the idea behind when we come in is to just create that, change that culture for a second. Just create a lovely atmosphere so that everyone can recognize. See, we don't bring the magic. No, no, no. We bring the key to unlock the magic that's inside the school.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
It's already there.
It's there. We're like locksmiths, you know. That's all it is. We unlock it, because if you think we brought the magic, the second we leave, the magic leaves with us. Yeah. But we help kids and teachers recognize that you too can be an ambassador for happiness in your school, in your class. You too can represent happiness by doing gratitude journals. We get the kids to write things that they're happy about themselves, things that they want to achieve. And we help them to create an external voice. So there's the voice in your head. Give that voice a name. So there was a young lady I was working with yesterday. We had an old girl's school virtual assembly. And the young girl's like, how do you deal with doubt? Her name was Nana. I said, okay, Nana, it strikes me that you want to be very successful. You're driven. She goes, yeah, but sometimes there's the doubt side of me. I said, yeah, we're going to call that doubt side of you. No, no. So now she knows that there's Nana and there's no, no. And when that doubt comes up, she knows to deal with no, no in the corner. Because if you don't disassociate from that voice in your head, you're going to constantly think that you are the voice in your head. You are not the voice in your head. That voice in your head has been with you for ages. The same voice in my head that told me I'm not good enough to sign a contract with Bloomsbury Ed to write a book. I said, shut up. I'm writing this book. I don't care. Go away. You've been there. You told me I couldn't start a business. You told me I could not lose weight. Here I am. Hey.
Looking sharp as well.
Come on.
So what's your book?
Yes, Happy School 365. Oh. 21 ways to motivate your learners.
And is each one of those 21 ways the digital little mini videos as well on the digital 365?
Yeah. So the story behind it is obviously doing this for 25 years, teachers to say, wow, how did you do that? How did you? And, you know, first of all, I was like, yes, because I've got all the power. I've got the power. I said, shut up. It's not just you. Anyone can access this power. So I wanted to put all the tools and the skills that I use to motivate kids in these books. And it's written, but for me, I'm a video man. I love videos. You know, I'm very visual. So I thought, let me create 21 videos to go with the book as well. So if you get
I'm
the book.
I'm singing 21 videos to go.
Look at that. 21 videos to go. You're crazy. I thought I was crazy. You're crazy. So yeah, you can get access to the book. It's on Amazon. It's on the Bloomsbury website. And you can get access to the video. The videos are there for free for now because I want teachers to just use it. Because, you know, We're in a time where we need content to just really help us change the way we see things. Happy School, 365.co.uk. You can get it there for free.
I spent a lot of time on there yesterday afternoon, and I looked at the 365 thing. I watched those videos. Oh my God, I could have taken on the world yesterday afternoon.
Come on.
I was like, move over, Boris. I've got this. I've been action Jackson.
There you go. I've been crowned. Boom.
Yeah. So, you've kind of very briefly touched on the pandemic there and the way that things have changed in school at the moment. Mm. So what do you think the effect on our young people has been of the last sort of 9 months? And what practical steps can we take to support them?
Okay. Uncertainty of the future was on the rise before the pandemic. What this was to agitate it. So uncertainty is on an all-time high. Imagine we're studying, well, for what? What if the exams get cancelled again? What's the point? The kids go home and they're hearing woe from the news. You know, this industry shut down, 35,000 jobs out the window. So this child is sitting there listening to all of this. I want you to imagine there's a funnel, and at the bottom of the funnel is this child. And at the top of the funnel, we're pouring all this toxic news, and it's going into the mind and the hearts of this young person. And they're destined to fly. They can't fly because they're weighed down by this, the negative news. So what it does is when they come into the classroom, they're heavy and they can't pay attention. Now, what we need to do is to help young people to see this as the adventures of life. It's not the first time we've been here before. World War I, World War II, World War III, the Depression. We need to take them back to understand that we came off the back of that. And we've created a world that's so beautiful. So this is just another chapter. Because after night, there is always day. Yeah. Remember that. It's never night forever.
So okay. I think it was Jazz Ampafar posted something on Facebook yesterday. Did you see it about the aviators?
Ah, okay. I haven't seen that. No.
She said that she was talking to a pilot friend. Mm-hmm. Many years ago, and he wanted to buy some aviators, and she was ribbing him about it, saying, why do you want to buy aviators, you big poser? And he said, because when I fly, it's always sunny above the clouds.
Wow.
I love that. Nice little link to your
exactly. Now, how can we help our young people fly above the clouds? Well, the first thing we need to do is to help our young people believe that they are problem solvers. I don't think we should get them to say, oh, hey, what job do you want so that you can be happy? No, my daughter, who's 7 months old, okay, I've already started training her that she's a problem solver to the world. And then I gave her a name, Olivia, which means hope, olive branch, that whole thing. Because I want to train her to believe that you're going into the world to be a problem solver. And if they see themselves as a problem solver, and kids and young people, they're so alert to what needs to be done. It's we as adults, we've got our head up in something else and we don't see the simple solution.
Yeah.
Jackson,
you need to read my book.
Yeah?
You and me are on the same
page. I'm getting it now on Amazon. Yeah? Alexa, or Siri, book me. Be more touch. I'm getting that. I'm so getting that.
I think you'll like it. Sorry, shameless book plug in somebody's
listen, and okay, do you know, that's beautiful. This is why I like this unscripted, because if there's one thing I really believe in this teaching community, I really believe schools should not compete against each other. There shouldn't be no competition. There should be collaboration. You know, I really believe we should stick your book and my book together and sell it as one.
What a duo. So... We mentioned children during the pandemic, but how have you stayed positive during the pandemic? And you just mentioned that you've got a new baby, which have obviously has been an absolutely joyful yet exhausting experience, I should think. But how have you stayed positive during the last few months?
Well, it's interesting. So we went on lockdown March the 20th or something. You know, I remembered clearly I was coming back from a school and it was like, it's official. There's going to be a lockdown. You know, and everybody racing home, shut your doors and your windows. Exactly a month after that, our daughter was born. And for a good couple of months, it was me, her, and her mom.
Oh,
So for us, it was a gift, because if there was no pandemic, I would have probably been in Abu Dhabi somewhere motivating people, dieting all over the place. So the way I stayed positive was just to be present in the moment of this newborn, you know, and that for us was, our experience of the pandemic was just literally raising this newborn. So it was a gift. So yeah, that was a silver lining. You know,
that's beautiful, because I know that a lot of people who've had babies during lockdown have felt quite isolated, because they weren't able to access their normal services or parenting classes or groups or anything. So that's really nice to hear a really positive sort of new baby story from the pandemic, that actually it was a kind of time to hunker down together and
Because normally, I mean, we've got like big family coming around, you're right, congratulations, and everybody's coming around, and grandmas and aunties, they couldn't come round. It was just us. Aww. You know. So, and then after a while, I think the lockdown was eased and they got to visit in pairs and stuff. So yeah.
Oh, beautiful. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Is she gorgeous?
Do you know what? It's scary. She's gorgeous. I call her Olivia Ninja. She's so agile, as in, like, she got two teeth at the front, you know, 6, 7 months now, and she doesn't want to crawl, she just wants to walk, and she's just so alert, and she's so there, and she's a good baby. No sleepless nights. Zero.
I have to terminate this interview right now, because none of my three slept till they were after 2. Any of them. I was like, what am I doing?
She's amazing, honestly.
I'm right off you.
I'm sorry. I don't know what it is. I think it might have been the genes of positivity. Because during the pregnancy, what we did was I bought these speakers for my wife to put on her womb. And we would play my single into the womb so that she can hear it. I'm HAPPY365. I'm brainwashing from the womb. I'm not having you come out here and give me stress. I'm sorry. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I was busy in headship and in primary teaching maths. So my God. Mine got like introduction to fractions with year 3. No wonder they didn't sleep. So we've mentioned some of the techniques that you use in schools, but you've got this list on one of your websites about secret techniques. The secret techniques you'd like teachers to use. So can you just tell us a couple maybe of your secret techniques?
Secret techniques. I think, you know, it's just like what I said when you said, you know, what's my ambassadorial role? I really do believe that the teaching techniques are not the issue. It's more about the well-being of the teacher. That's the issue. That teachers aren't loving themselves enough. They're not caring for themselves enough. So when they come into the, I think I put it in a book. I said, would you jump on a plane? And the captain comes on, like, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to fly. I'm a bit tired. I'm depressed. I'm frustrated. I hate myself. I hate life. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. Let's take off and we'll go to our destination. I haven't had any sleep. What would you do next? And you and your children are on that flight. And this person hasn't slept for 14 hours. But we allow teachers to walk into classroom stressed, depressed, frustrated, anxious. So I really believe the first thing teachers need to do is to take primary responsibility for their self-care. Don't wait for Ofsted to come and do it for you, the government. You have to say, I am number one, and I need to care for myself first. So if anyone's listening to me right now, and if you remember anything, is please look after yourself. And your soul knows what's good for you. When you eat junk, your soul knows. When you go for a run, your soul says, thank you. When you drink water, your soul says, thank you. When you grab vodka, your soul says, no, don't do it. Okay. So one of my secrets, it's not really a secret, but it's that look after yourself, please, teacher. Because when you do, you feel happier and things just flow out. This interview, for me, I feel good because I look after them. I don't get ready. I stay ready. Because I live a happy life by just nurturing me. It's not just in me, it's in every one of us.
I love that. Stay ready. Don't get ready. Stay
ready. No, stay ready. Come on. Because the magic is inside all of us, you know. Give me a stage of 500 kids right now. We're ready to rock and roll. I got my guitar. My guitar's always at the ready.
Oh my God, yeah? I've got a guitar.
Stay ready. Don't get ready.
I love this. I love the guitar. I love the flamingo head that you showed me. The flamingo outfit. Those of you that haven't seen the tweet with Action Jackson dressed as a flamingo at Cam Zed Fest, I need to retweet that. You need to see it because
that was fun. And you know what? And that was living in the moment because I didn't plan the flamingo. You know, I just saw it. I thought I would love to go because I'm all about going against the status quo, doing things differently. And I can't preach it and not live it. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to do my keynote in a flamingo outfit. And I jumped on stage and I did it. And look at the magic it's created. We need to live more in the moment.
And then you went home in it, didn't you, on the tube?
I was on the tube. I got to King's Cross. I was taking selfies. People are looking at me thinking, this guy's dressed up in a flamingo. I love dressing up.
You know what? So do I. I used to dress up all the time. My former co-head partner and I, we genuinely had a wig cupboard.
Wow. I love that.
A wig cupboard and a dressing up cupboard. And she'd be like, you're going to make me wear this, aren't you? I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
We are. My favourite one we ever did was I just had my second baby and it was Christmas. Mm. We were in a thank you assembly for the governing body. And who we crowned as the three wise men in the age. But we did that whilst dressed up as Mary and Joseph, and I had the baby. And we came into assembly parading in as Mary and Joseph.
Wow.
And I remember I brought this crook in and I was going, look, you can be Joseph and I'll be Mary. She was going, you're really going to make me do this, aren't you? I was like, and I was literally standing there going, do it, do it.
Come on.
And my favourite assembly ever.
Oh, lovely.
So we've talked about secret techniques, and then there's loads of stuff in the news at the moment about exams, about changes to exams for our young people, changes to statutory assessments and how they're going to be different and what have you. But in terms of helping them to prepare for this year, because you do a lot about exam prep, don't you? Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to students to prepare for this year?
Okay. I would say work, play, rest. Work, play, rest. Work, play, rest. Work, rest. She's miming right now saying, it's in my book. I told you, we're in the moment. Work, play, rest. The three are essential for achieving anything. Work is literally, okay, what do I need to do to get this grade? And just put yourself in the zone. You're an athlete. Okay, we've got to do the work. You got to do the revision, you got to put down the computer game, you got to put down TikTok, all right? Gaming and stuff is cool, but this is what, and I think another thing we need to do, and we don't do very well in education, is this. We don't connect the current work to the future opportunities, okay? The kids are saying, when am I ever going to need algebra in my life? And a valid question. And you're not going to need algebra in your life ever, but guess what you're going to need? You're going to need problem-solving skills. And what algebra teaches you is being able to be a problem solver. So we need to be able to create that transferable skills link to help them see that, hey, what you're revising for, yeah, get the grades, but this is what it's teaching you. There's another layer that's deeper than the subject. You know, so I think every teacher needs to sit down and say, okay, what are the transferable skills that my subject teaches a kid, and then link it to their dreams, and guess what? They'll be alert. Versus, who needs history anyway? I can get the information from Google. That's what people are saying now.
Oh, God.
And exactly. There you go. It's like, why do I need that? If I need that, I'll just ask Siri, what date was blah, blah, blah. Do you know what's so scary? Let's get deep here, okay? Disruptors. There's going to come a time where the things that we're teaching in education, there's going to be a revolution in education where stuff is being accessed on the internet. So teachers now need to arm themselves with something deeper than the subjects.
Deeper than, I like that. Arm yourself with something deeper than your subject.
Yes. Something that can't be replaced. So currently, I'm recreating myself. I said, okay, right. I'm a motivational speaker going into schools. How can you reinvent yourself? Okay. So I'm creating content. We're building a Netflix for schools at the moment, you know, on the platform, putting videos, content. As you were talking to me already, my brain's already started creating little episode for Being More Toddler. Literally honestly, a 7-part episode where we are literally...
Well, I've got every chapter in there for you, sweetheart. We can unpick that after the show.
We'll make that happen. Turn it to a visual episode. Imagine if we had a bunch of teachers in the room where we have to force them to be more toddler. And how does it feel? Imagine that. Just to be a toddler. Or imagine a movie where a teacher wakes up and they're ready to go to work and they've turned into a toddler and they have to live their life as a toddler.
Like the opposite of big.
There you go.
Little.
Yeah, little. So that all of that is the work. So for students, there's the work, there's the play. It's okay for you to play. You know, that's when you jump on a computer game and do all of that. And then rest. Rest is when you disconnect from everything digital and you just go into nature, sleeping, drinking water and sleeping. That's rest, where you're not just plugged into something. Work, play, rest.
Because you've had a digital detox, haven't you? Because you were telling me about this off air. So just quickly give us an overview of what you've been up to or not up to.
So yeah, I watched a docu-film on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. And it talked about how social media is just ruining our lives and our brain. And we all know this, but it went deeper. The fact that there's a version of us on the other side, a digital version, and they study our behavior pattern. I said, this is crazy. October 1st, I decided, right, cool. I am giving up my phone or everything digital. So I deleted all my apps. As we speak now, it was meant to be for 30 days. It's now 69 days of being off social media. And it feels good to be out of prison.
Because you said when we were off air, you told me about two people who you discovered when you were in yourself.
Yes.
Just tell us again who those two people were.
Okay, so coming away from social media, there was the addict who was addicted to just social media and addiction to just being on there for no apparent reason. I said, this is crazy. Okay, you sit right there. Because 30 days after, I was just like, I need my phone. I need to get on the app. I was like, mate, just shut up. What's wrong with you? And then there was the attention seeker, was the other person. I said, this is weird. Okay. So those two characters, I thought, I need to deal with these two, attention seeker and the addict. Two things you don't want in your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, 50 days later, the noise started to just die down. 60 days. No longer needing validation. Because I'm going to be honest with everybody who's watching me. I'm the ambassador, UK ambassador for happiness. I've written books. I do talks. I get invited around the world. I still have that voice in me that says, are you sure you're good enough? I still get attacked by the imposter syndrome. So I too have to do internal work. So coming off social media has allowed me to do that work and to be away from the toxic environment of social media is great, don't get me wrong, that's how we connect. But there's a time where I think every teacher needs to just step away and get to know them. Regain your consciousness by detoxing from social media.
Yeah, it's and then what concerns me is that you've made that choice as an informed adult, not as a kind of impressionable young person. It worries me the kind of addiction and lack of concentration and that need for validation that some of our vulnerable young people must feel so much more keenly. Who do you do work with schools about digital detoxing or social media?
Well, so after my experience, and the reason why we did it was we don't want Olivia to be hooked on anything digital. So I said, well, I can't teach it, I've got to live it. So now I'm going to be creating programs around the need for digital detox, what I experienced and what it would do for our kids if they could just come off the screen for a certain amount of time. So that's going to be in the pipeline now. I touch on it in our workshops, but I'm going to create some stuff around it.
Cool. I should look forward to that.
Yeah.
So you've talked about your ambassadorial role, but what's been, of all the stuff you've done, because you've done it for a long time now, what's been your proudest moment as the ambassador for happiness?
Ooh. Do you know what? Becoming a dad.
Oh.
Becoming a dad. Yeah. So the story behind it is, you know, when my wife and I got married, we had challenges having children. We could not. 5 years, we tried.
Nine for 5 years. Here, Jackson.
Whoa. Wow. I salute you. You know? And can you imagine the pain? And in our culture, if you get married on a Monday, you're supposed to give birth to a child on a Tuesday. You know, that's how quick it's supposed to happen. And when you don't, there's this stigma that's attached to you that says, oh, what's wrong with you? You know, for 5 years, we went through that pain. And the crazy thing is, in that 5 years, I'm going into schools talking to kids. And I remember one time I was in a school talking to a group of year nine kids, and I was speaking. And in midway through my session, one girl whispered to the other girl, she said, oh my gosh, I wish he was my dad. And, you know, I'm getting all emotional right now. You know, in that moment, it was just like, wow. And we were struggling at the time. And for her to be able to say that she saw something in me that was like great dad material, but I was like, but we can't have kids. And it was a tough time to battle through at the time. So when Olivia came, it was just like, wow, thank God. Finally, we've overcome that emotional battle. And I can now pour all this great knowledge in you, and you can go out and live the life of legacy and helping people be happy.
Oh, that's such a lovely story.
No, it was lovely. And you know what? It just makes me, because this is more than a business for me. It's a mission to know that there are kids in our classrooms who, there's a quote that says, you know, kids who come to school to, no, kids who are loved at home come to school to learn. And kids who are not loved at home come to school to be loved.
Yeah.
And our classroom should be a love space. Mm-hmm. And there are kids who need that. And this is why I want to empower teachers to love themselves so that they can give the love to the kids. Because that's the one thing that's on the deficit, the love.
Yeah. That's the one thing I miss about classroom, like full-time classroom teaching, is that kind of relationship that you have with the children.
Yeah.
I remember being pregnant with my first child. And it was year six class, so they were leaving the school, hormonal, emotional. And I just remember looking at them, and I said to them as they left, I said, do you know what? I said, you're going to go on and do great things. And the one wish I have for my new baby is that they turn out as brilliant as you lot. Because they were just the most glorious, glorious class ever. And I just thought, what an amazing job we get as educators to be in that same space with young people and get the opportunity to genuinely love being around young people. It's just, it's such an honor, such a privilege.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, I've got all serious and emotional now.
No, but you know what? This is the truth of where we are. When it's all said and done, when we're all sort of like 90 in our rocking chairs, we want to be able to look back over our lives and know that we were part of the generation that turned the narrative around. Everybody's complaining about the education system. Well, how about we just shut up and create the solution we know? Stop complaining about the education system and do what you can with what you've got. Yeah. There are things you can control, the things you can't control. Well, take your energy and control it. You can control yourself and who you are in the classroom. So just love you, love the kids, and just, yeah.
That's such an important message as well, is to bring your whole self to the job.
And people are scared to do that.
Yeah.
You need to. You can't let bring you, because we're humans. If you stand in front of me and you're BSing, I know. This is why for me, I love primary, because the BS radar goes up and they're so open to you and they remember you. And I feel less judged when I'm around them. When I do CPDs, it's a lot more hard work.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody, I'm 100 these barriers and prickles.
There you go. So I spend 50% of my energy and 50% of my session bringing down the barriers, and then the other 50% teaching you. How about you just drop the barriers and we could just have fun straight away?
I've got a vision of you, like, you know, like in a fairy tale where they're hacking through the thicket.
There you go. Ah, come on.
The brambles and the prickles. Right, I'm going to ask you a very serious question now. We've covered a lot of ground. My very next very serious question is, what's your favorite cheesecake?
that's a deep one. Blueberry cheesecake.
I ask you this because when you go on your website, it's one of the very first things. And if you do a Google search of you, well, first of all, you get Action Jackson the film, which I was like, that's not him. But then when you Google you, it's the first thing that comes up. It's lover of cheesecake.
Yeah. You know, on my cheat days, I dive into cheesecake. I even wrote called the cheesecake song.
Well, you can't say that and not sing it.
Hey. Listen. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, now I see. All I see is cheesecakes. 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 Every little help. Thank you, Tesco's. Every little help. Thank you, Tesco's. I was blind, now I see. I was blind, and I see. All I see is cheesecakes. All I see is cheesecakes. All I see is cheesecakes. All I see is cheesecakes.
It's a Tuesday morning. Is it? No, it's not Tuesday. What day are we
it's
on?
It's a Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
I did not expect to hear that. Other supermarkets are available.
Exactly. Yes. Available at all supermarkets.
That's brilliant. And you run a lot, don't you? Is it you run because of the cheesecake, or you have the cheesecake because you run?
Oh, I don't know. If it's a bit of both, you know. So when I finish running, I want to have a cheesecake because I'm like, you've done very well. Then I put on the pounds again and then go back around.
Oh, funny. So now I've had cheesecake, we've had secret techniques, we've been to the UAE, the self-appointed Minister for Happiness. We've talked about the pandemic, we've talked about your beautiful new daughter and becoming a parent. So we're going to have to wrap it up, but I reckon there's quite a lot of people who are going to want to tap into your expertise, tap into your fix-up crew, tap into your work, and bring a little bit of this magic into their schools and into their classrooms. So where can people find out more about you, and what are you currently up to?
Okay, so I'm on Twitter when I come back, Action Jackson on Twitter, so you can come and say hello on there. Also, the fix-up team. www.thefixupteam.co.uk. You can come over there and visit and come and see some of the stuff that we are doing at the Fix Up team. And currently, we are actually building a Netflix for schools, where schools can subscribe to a platform where they can get thousands of videos to be able to tackle any problem within the school that we've talked about. And that there, you can at www.fixuponlineacademy.com, fixuponlineacademy, to be able to get access to that. And for me, the reason behind that is obviously we haven't been able to get into schools as much, but at least digital content can get into schools. But it's been a great pleasure being here today. Honestly, this has been the best podcast interview I've done in years.
This week,
you know, it's I almost cried. What do you mean? I almost cried. I was just like, oh my gosh, tears. It's just, and I think the reason why is I've just been myself a lot more and just flow. And thank you so much for being a great open host. Your heart, your soul is so big and so huge, Emma. Oh. And you gave me permission to be my best self on this interview today.
Oh, thank you. That's lovely.
Yeah, no, seriously.
I think we're kindred spirits, Jack.
I think so. Connected on some level. I feel a vibe going on here, girl.
I can feel a collaboration coming on. I promise I won't sing. I can dance, though. This girl can move.
Listen, we'll do that. I'll sing you, Doc.
Right. Well, I'm going to say cheerio for now. So we can find you on Twitter. We can find you online. And you've got your Digital 365, which I watched yesterday. And I would recommend everybody watch, because you will feel like you can take on the world afterwards.
Yeah. It's a
really generous thing that you've done there. Absolutely fantastic. So thank you. And I look forward to seeing and hearing much more about your project when you're back on the road as well. Because I think all of our schools could do a little bit of a happiness injection from you guys and your team. So thanks very much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nimmer Snatter, just talking to teachers.
Talking to teachers about academic research and evidence-based practice with continuing professional development at PNA 1977 on Twitter.
Nimmer Snatter, just talking to teachers.